Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you once again for joining me for another opportunity to get empowered with truthful information that really does make a difference in your life. And today we're going to be talking about some information that absolutely everyone's going to want to know about, because we're going to be exploring the keys to radiant health and ageless beauty, one of my favorite topics. So I'm looking forward to this interview, and I'm sure you will all be so inspired and get some great tips so you can expand your radiant health and ageless beauty. So to help us on this journey today, I'd like to interview my guest. It's Dr. Christine Horner, who is a medical doctor. Actually, she is a nationally known surgeon, author, and professional speaker, and holds two board certifications, the National Board of Surgery and the National Board of Plastic Surgery. Dr. Horner was recognized as a leader in her field shortly after starting her plastic and reconstructive surgery practice because she successfully ran a national campaign to pass laws requiring insurance companies to pay for breast reconstruction following mastectomy. Her five-year crusade with the Breast Reconstruction Advocacy Project led to the passage of an unprecedented federal law that was signed by President Bill Clinton in 1998, requiring that insurance companies pay for this specific surgical procedure. Dr. Horner is the award-winning author of Awakening the Warrior Goddess, and she also has Dr. Christine Horner's program to protect against and fight breast cancer. And her new book, which we're going to be exploring today, is Radiant Health and Ageless Beauty. And it's always a pleasure to have Dr. Christine Horner on the show. It's been a while, and I'd love to welcome you back. Hello, Christine.
Hello. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be with you, too.
Well, I know we have great things to talk about today, because this is exciting. Congratulations on your latest book, Radiant Health, Ageless Beauty. I know it's been quite a labor of love, as any book is.
That's an understatement, yeah.
And you know, it's a topic that is just so important for us to understand, for us and women and men to have understanding of the strategies, because this is a, I know this is a passion of yours, and it certainly is a passion of mine. Understanding how we really can get younger and healthier at any stage of our life. And you have done such a great job at sharing so many of those pieces of our ageless beauty puzzle. So we're just going to jump right in, and let's talk about some of the keys that you have shared with us in your book, Radiant Health, Ageless Beauty. So you know, you're a plastic surgeon by training, so you must, you know, have, you know, this has been an area of, I'm sure you did a lot of reconstruction when you were doing it. It's not, when you're a plastic surgeon, it's not just about facelifts, is it?
Right. No. So I did a lot of breast reconstructive surgery, which is probably something I was best known for in my work with breast cancer. And plastic surgery is an unbelievably diverse field, from doing cleft lip and palate to hand surgery. Yeah, but most people, you know, just think of it as far as like cosmetic surgery, but that's just one aspect of it, which I did do. And, a lot of people always ask me, like, how in the world did a plastic surgeon get into natural health? Isn't that like kind of like the opposite, you know, kind of thing? And, really, it's not at all. And, in fact, you know, when I was working as a plastic surgeon, even the regular plastic surgeons were starting to recognize that if people continued their unhealthy habits, then, like, facelifts didn't last very long, you know, just a few years.
Yeah.
And so in order for the cosmetic surgery results to last longer, they were saying, oh my gosh, you know, people actually need to eat well and, you know, do some healthy, you know, kinds of practices and stuff. But really, my whole life changed when I got introduced to Ayurveda, you know, the traditional system of medicine from India that Deepak Chopra talks about. And so I learned how to practice transcendental meditation, about 20 years ago, and I was so blown away by it that the person who taught me said, you know, there's this system of medicine called Ayurveda, which I'd never heard of at that point, which I'm kind of embarrassed by because, you know, a sixth of the world's population uses it as their primary form of medicine. But he said, you know, you really should go to experience Ayurveda. You should go to this clinic in Fairfield, Iowa, where they do something called Pancha Karma. So Pancha means five and Karma means actions. And it's a detoxification program. Actually, the system of medicine is 5,000 years old. So they recognized even 5,000 years ago, before there was all chemicals and genetically modified organisms, that we need to have regular detoxification, just because even if you have like emotional upsets, it can prevent you from digesting your food fully, and then that residual undigested food portions are things that can actually clog up your system. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll go, you know, try it out. So I go to Fairfield, Iowa, of all strange places where this was. And I went just for 3 days because I'd never done it before. But about 48 hours into it, I looked in the mirror, and I looked 10 years younger and never felt yeah. better in my life. And I thought, oh, my God, these people know something. So I did not learn anything about health when I was in medical school or residency, didn't have a single course of nutrition, you know, only learned how to suppress, you know, diseases or symptoms with some medications and surgery. But so I just delved into it and learned it, you know, just ravenously, and ended up getting certified in Ayurveda. And then I thought, okay, people really need to know this information because there's so many simple things that you can do that can, you know, dramatically improve your health. And so I pitched the television stations in Cincinnati, Ohio, where I was living at the time, and said, hey, let me be your doctor on air doing a segment on complementary and alternative medicine instead of pharmaceuticals. So they went for that, and that was way back in like 1999, 2000 through 2002, and I was working literally 14 hours a day, 7 days a week to pull off doing the television and my practice, and being a workaholic, reformed. I'm now reformed.
Yay, good to hear.
Having been your quintessential, you know, workaholic, by definition, you have to be that if you're a surgeon, but you know, I kept it up for about 3 years, and I woke up one morning and I went, you know, I think I'm going to start crying, you know, like I hate my life. I have no friends. So I just realized at that point that it was time for me to leave my practice because really my passion was teaching people about how to become healthy and stay healthy naturally and avoid the knife. So I quit. And so it's been probably, I don't know, 12 years or something like that where I've just dedicated my life, similar to you, you know, going around all over the place teaching people through lectures and television and radio interviews and so forth about, and you know, what they can do to, you know, really help themselves. And, it's, and like I said, so many simple things that they can do that can have such a dramatic effect.
So we're going to talk about some of those simple things, but I just want to comment that when we talk about radiant health and ageless beauty and rejuvenation, and these are such hot topics now, we're seeing so many books out there, people talking about it, but I think we, you know, we really want to emphasize that the key to rejuvenating, regenerating, ageless beauty is we have to take responsibility for our health now. It's not about a quick fix, right? It's about supporting the body.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, as a plastic surgeon, I certainly saw tons of people coming in saying, okay, let's just put topical chemicals on or just do this or, you know, or people that come out, just take this pill kind of thing. That doesn't work. You know, it's a, you know, very much a holistic approach where, you know, every aspect of your life is something that influences your health, you know, either in a good way or a bad way. You know, so, you know, it's just wonderful to be conscientious about, you know, how much of an influence everything has. You know, even the, especially the thoughts that you think, you know, affect how your genes are read and all sorts of stuff. So it's really becoming a much more conscious person, living more consciously, and knowing that everything that you do has an influence. So it's really important to be aware, you know, of all those things and just incorporate practices that make you feel really great.
Yeah, Right. And, you know, and it's like you said, when you went and did that Ayurvedic rejuvenation program, mm-hmm. you saw changes within 48 hours, which
yeah.
is really quite phenomenal when you think about it.
It is.
And it reminds us that the body can change so quickly if we just support
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, and that's true. And even people, and of course, I was always living kind of a healthy lifestyle, as in the horrible stress, you know, as a doctor. But the people that were in the clinics, you know, coming in there for their treatments, and they were all sorts of different ages and shapes and sizes and toxicities and everything. But almost universally, you know, what I saw was that when people first came in, you know, their skin looked dull. They looked, you know, toxic. And a few days into it, it's just like all of a sudden there would be this huge shift in, as those toxins started releasing and their skin brightened up and started glowing. And, you know, so it can take longer, you know. I mean, the more unbalanced you are and the more toxic you are, the longer it's going to take. But I definitely saw dramatic changes in almost everybody in a very short period of time, you know, going through that program.
Well, you said that there are some practical things you've learned from your studies with Ayurveda that we can all be incorporating into our lifestyle that can help us get healthy, get rejuvenated. So let's start off with talking about some of those tips. What are some of
Sure.
those favorite things of yours?
Sure. So what I did actually with my book is I used Ayurveda as a framework because I think it just is extremely helpful as far as guiding principles. But then I also incorporated, you know, kind of the latest, you know, research, and all of it is supportive, you know, of those basic principles in Ayurveda. So Ayurveda, Ayur means life and Veda means knowledge. So it literally means the knowledge of life. And there's some fundamental principles that it has. And one is that it recognizes that we as human beings are governed by what we call natural laws. So it's kind of like knowing the rule book, you know, of being a human being on planet Earth. And you can say, all right, the obvious ones that everyone knows about is you got to go to sleep and sleep every night or else you're not going to do very well. You got to eat, you know, every day or you're not going to do very well. But Ayurveda recognizes literally hundreds of different natural laws that when you follow those, it will cause your body to go into balance, and when your body's in balance, then it enhances your body's inner healing intelligence, and that's what keeps you well. And all the point of all the different types of modalities used by Ayurveda, the whole point of it is to bring your body into balance and enhance your body's inner healing intelligence. If you violate those rules or those laws, then your body will develop imbalances, which will then gradually become so severe that you'll develop diseases. So another fundamental principle is that we're not all the same, you know, and so oftentimes in Western medicine it's very cookbook and everybody's treated exactly the same, but in Ayurveda as well as traditional Chinese medicine, you know, there's a saying where it's like you don't ask what disease the person has, you ask who the person is that has that particular disease. So it's very possible that you could have, you know, five people with arthritis and there would be five different prescriptions about what they need to do to reverse it because it depends on what they specifically did that caused their bodies to get out of imbalance. And similarly, you know, by recognizing that all diseases start as imbalances. There's many different kinds of chronic disorders, which according to Ayurveda are completely and fairly easily reversible, like arthritis. And in Western medicine, we think they're not reversible at all, and instead we give people, you know, medications to reverse or at least suppress the symptoms, but it actually accelerates the disease and does nothing, you know, to help from the standpoint of what's the, you know, origin of causing the imbalances in the body. So almost everything that people have heard of as far as complementary and alternative medicine originated in Ayurveda. So again, 5,000 years ago, so they do yoga and breathing exercises, you know, meditation, herbs, sound therapy. They use color therapy and gemstones you know, so all these things, again, like I said, are designed to bring the body into balance. And then, you know, they also look at us as individuals. So they've kind of recognized about nine different body constitutions. And, of course, we all know that you have those really irritating friends that can eat anything that they want to and never gain any weight. And then, you know, you have other people that have a terrible time trying to lose weight. You have certain people that can eat hot, spicy foods, and they're fine, and other people that, you know, eat it and they instantly have, you know, gastric upset. So all of that has to kind of do with the type of, you know, body constitution that you have. And so then there's more specific prescriptions that are given to you based on what your body constitution is to you know, create balances in it and so forth. So, you know, as far as the recommendations in Ayurveda, some of the ones that, and again, modern research is, you know, definitely confirming all these things. You know, one of the principal things that we need to do, and it's considered a pillar of health, is to sleep. But it isn't just the number of hours that you sleep. It actually has to do equally important is the absolute times that you sleep. And in general, Ayurveda said you need to go to bed before 10 o'clock and get up by 6 o'clock, and those are considered the ideal hours for sleep. Well, in fact, what research shows is that that's absolutely true, and it all has to do with hormonal balances. So we have these fluctuations throughout the day and throughout the night, and if you go to bed before 10 o'clock, those hormonal balances are optimal. If you go to bed after 10 o'clock, then they're not. And in fact, what modern research shows is that people who stay up to midnight on a regular basis, it creates so many hormonal imbalances in their body that it doubles their incidence of heart disease, diabetes, obesity, and several different kinds of cancers, including breast and prostate and colon cancers. So, you know, sleep is pure medicine if it's done properly.
You know, I just want to jump in there.
Sure.
For most people, getting to sleep by 10 in our culture seems like an impossibility. It's like
mm-hmm.
it's just too early, right, for
right.
most people,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
to actually be in bed asleep by 10. And
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, it's so common for people to be going to bed between 11 and 12 or sometimes
right.
later. And the more hormonally out of balance you are, the more exhausted the adrenals are,
right.
the more you're going to get a burst of energy that's going to want to keep you up going
right.
until 10, 11, 12, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
but I think this is really important, that the time we go to sleep is so critical for all of these internal rhythms to be properly functioning and improve our health and detoxification and
mm-hmm.
our ability to repair our brains to
right.
reduce weight. So do you, so I think that's such, you know, it's an important point for people to hear. It's like we need to do our best, at least find some nights when we can get to bed closer to 10 rather than midnight, because even those 2 hours difference can impact how
mm-hmm.
your body is responding.
Yeah, just huge. And in Ayurveda, they you know, they say from 10 to 2 o'clock at night is this time period when your body is focused on detoxification. So it's kind of like every night. That's part of the function, a very important function of sleep, is to detoxify your body. So if you're up and you eat, you know, instead of
yeah.
allowing your cells to detoxify, they've actually found that your cells in your body know that they're supposed to, like, shut down and you know, work on doing the detoxification. So if you eat, which most people have this resurgence of hunger, you know, after 10 o'clock, and if you do that, then the cells are all shut down and ready to, you know, do their nighttime work. And so they don't accept the calories that you've consumed, and that increases insulin resistance, which we know not only increases your risk of diabetes, but, you know, actually contributes to most chronic diseases. And the calories go straight to fat, which is why people, there's a significant increased risk of obesity. You could say, oh, I'm eating the same number of calories, but it's like, well, what time do you go to bed? Because those go straight to fat, you know, too. So, yeah, very, very important, you know, to do that. And as I always say, it's free. And what Ayurveda recommends is that you go to bed 15 minutes earlier every week until you naturally train your body to go to bed before 10 o'clock. And, you know, another thing that we do to, you know, kind of sabotage our sleep is that we do too many stimulating things in the evening. So, you know, watching emotionally charged, you know, television, staying on your computer, you know, with the lights, being subjective to that electromagnetic frequency, which, you know, interferes interferes with our sleep hormone, melatonin, and everything. And Ayurveda says instead, in the evening, it should be your lighter meal. You want to do all sorts of different kinds of activities that is preparing your body for sleep. So, you know, listening to soothing music, taking a warm bath. I mean, like really preparing yourself. And you know, if you do that, then you'll find that it's much easier for you to go to sleep at the proper time.
So having that bowl of ice cream after dinner is not a great idea. Is that what you're telling us, Christine?
Well, I'm telling you that. Watching those murderous, you know, watching the news even, that, yeah, really, really bad, yeah.
I think watching the news is the worst thing you can do before you go to bed.
Oh, my gosh.
Boy, murder and mayhem. And
yeah,
you know,
no kidding.
You know, it's
not the
right energy to calm
you
down.
You just want to do pleasant things. That's right. Yeah.
So looking at the time you go to sleep, and also preparing yourself for winding down, so you're not stimulating your body.
Uh-huh.
You're unwinding. That's really the goal.
So
that strategy of just setting the clock 15 minutes earlier, setting your intention to be in bed 15 minutes earlier every night, is a great practical tool people can start implementing.
So that's a great one. Now, diet, of course, everyone knows that that's like super important, because what you're doing is, supplying your body with the construction materials for it to make itself. And so that's another pillar. There's like three pillars of health to Ayurveda, but the next one is diet and digestion, because they also say you can eat the best diet in the world, but if you're not digesting it properly, then it doesn't, it doesn't help. And they always point out those yogis and sages that can eat poison and it doesn't affect them, because they have such incredible, digestions and physiologies. But in general, Ayurveda recommends primarily a plant-based diet, and that's what research, supports, and that the plants all have these pharmacies in them, really. And if you favor plants that are, and this is, adding into it, like the superfoods, the term that we hear with that was coined to designate plants that have an unusual concentration of nutrients in them. So common ones we've heard of, like goji berries and acai and pomegranate and things like that. So what we find is that these plants almost universally have very high amounts of antioxidants and anti-inflammatories in them. They mostly each have like a specific polyphenol, which is an active molecule in it that is responsible for a lot of the antioxidant, anti-inflammatory characteristics. Lychee fruits, is another one that's from Asia, and it's got for example, a polyphenol called oligonol in it, and they've done a lot of research on it and found that it has lots of different anti-aging properties to it. It helps reduce metabolic, syndrome and belly fat. It also has a lot of protection against ultraviolet damage to your skin, and helps to keep the collagen elastin fibrils stronger, so it minimizes wrinkling, too. So what I do as a practice, and I started a few years back with this, is this, like, well, breakfast, instead of eating some horrible breakfast cereal that is completely toxic with sugar, I do a superfood smoothie in the morning. And I add like a scoop of all these different superfoods in it, and add blueberries, and even like Costco has organic prepackaged like fruits and kale and things like that. And then just push the button and there you have it, and you have like this super concentrated amount of superfoods in there that just really boost your health. So I think that that's a great practice, or juicing too is a great thing to do, because it helps you to absorb and assimilate the nutrients, and get an excess amount of them, which I think we all need now, because we live in such a toxic world, and from the pollutions to the chemicals to the EMF to whatever. So it's just kind of like, well, I want to boost my own body's, antioxidants and anti-inflammatories and kind of health-promoting properties as much as I can. And that's a really easy way, I think, to do that.
Christine, let's talk a bit about digestion. because I know that's a basic principle of not just Ayurvedic medicine. It's a basic principle in Chinese medicine.
Right.
It's a basic principle in naturopathic medicine. How do we create a strong digestive system? Because, as you said earlier, if it's not what you eat, it's what you digest and assimilate and absorb.
Right.
So
yes,
what are
yes.
some of the ancient wisdoms from Ayurvedic medicine that talks about how to optimize digestion? And I think we should add that the older we get, the weaker our digestion becomes. It's just part of the process. So we
right.
need to really support and enhance mm-hmm. our ability to digest and assimilate.
Right, right. Well, there's there's a number of kind of simple recommendations that Ayurveda has. Now, one thing that can happen is that when your body develops toxins in it, which like I said, we're all exposed to it, and your body kind of clogs up with it, you don't digest very well, And so one of the simplest but most profound things that you can do is to sip warm to hot water all day long, just little sips of it, now and again. And what it does is it helps to keep your digestive tract moving, and it opens up the channels in your body. They call them shrotas in Ayurveda, but it opens up the channels of the body. And people have the most astounding effects just based on simply drinking sips of hot water throughout the day, where they'll suddenly, their skin clears up, they start losing weight like crazy, and it opens up, like I said, these channels and keeps the digestion, really flowing. And eating, drinking iced beverages, which is kind of a common thing in the United States, from ice water to those, toxic cola things. But, that has been shown to the temperature really kind of, throws ice basically on your digestive fires. And research shows that it actually cuts the effectiveness of your digestion enzymes in at least half when you're consuming cold drinks at the time that you're eating. So you're actually just to do like little sips of hot water. Even when you're eating your meals, you don't want to do too much. That'll dilute the digestive enzymes. And again, really avoid iced drinks. Now, eating your main meal at noontime is another thing that has been recognized for 5,000 years, that your digestive fires are their strongest at noon. And, in the United States, our traditional thing is to eat this big, heavy meal in the evening, and that's the wrong time to do that because your digestive fires aren't as strong then, and that's another thing that can interfere with your sleep, is your body's trying to digest rather than sleep. So eating your main meal at noontime. Then they say eat to about 3/4 to your capacity, so don't stuff yourself. You want to eat a regular mealtime. So Ayurveda is very big into routine. Like, your body will get used to a routine. It knows exactly when your next mealtime is. It will naturally start producing, the enzymes ahead of time and preparing your body for those activities. But if you do it on where you're doing the same schedule every single day, and you'll be amazed at how much better that you'll feel with that. Now, Ayurveda also says you should put your full concentration on your food instead of watching television at the same time or reading something, that you're just fully, putting your attention on your food, and that way you're chewing your food properly. And if you're not, if you're watching television at the same time, you're kind of going into brainstem function as far as eating, and you have a tendency to eat too fast and then also to eat more than, what you normally would be if you were, really putting your full concentration on it. You shouldn't eat when you're upset. You need to really be eating in this pleasant, kind of settled, environment. And they even, go as far as say to not talk while you're chewing. Didn't your mother tell you that one too, right?
Well, and, just because the food would fall out all the time.
That's right. Yeah. So those are, it's not kind of the same things. Now, Ayurveda, there's a whole, raw foods movement and everything, but Ayurveda says if you lightly cook, so this isn't overcooking, which destroys the nutrients, but if you lightly cook things, it actually kind of creates the first stage of digestion, makes it easier for you to then, digest and assimilate your food. And there's actually a lot of research that, you know, supports that. There's a lot of variability, you know, based on foods, but, the kind of just in general, we'll say that doing lightly steam your, you know, vegetables or something like that, that it actually helps you to digest and assimilate them better.
Well, those are some great tips, and I just want to kind of reiterate a couple of things. I love the idea of just sipping warm or hot water throughout the day. That's such an easy strategy that can have really so many benefits. I'm going to try that. I mean, I never drink cold, icy things anymore because I've been studying Chinese medicine mostly, a little Ayurvedic. But in both those traditions, they never, ever recommend doing cold, icy drinks because of what you said. It paralyzes the digestive tract.
Mm-hmm.
And if our digestive system isn't working optimally, then we're not going to be able to digest properly. And that just creates all sorts of problems when, the system is slowed down and bogged down.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that. And I just encourage people to really start having their liquids room temperature warm and reduce the icy stuff. And when I see people who really have digestive problems, they get bloated, they have flatulence, they be constipated, they really have some major issues, I always encourage them to have more of their foods cooked in some capacity, just even slightly steamed, rather than raw, even though we're told raw is supposed to be so
great.
But it's not the truth. If your digestive system is weak, you just don't have the energy to break down those fibers and actually, you know, get to the nutrition in those foods. So it's not always raw for people.
Right. Yeah, I was just thinking about this friend of mine whose daughter just went to college, and she was like, okay, I'm going to become a vegan suddenly and, you know, do the raw foods and everything. And then I saw her when she came back for a break because her mom wanted me to see her, because she's like, oh my God, her stomach's sticking out like she's pregnant. She's having all these horrible digestive issues. And you know, she's a body type that actually doesn't do well with raw. And, you know, so that's super aggravating for it. But everything that she was doing was aggravating. It's called Vata, which is one of the doshas, and just making her digestion so much worse. But, you know, the raw foods is something that's really bad for that constitution. So it can definitely aggravate it and cause, you know, bloating.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it can lead to some serious problems. And it brings back that point you made that we are all different body types, and there is no one right way, period, when it comes to diet and eating. We have to understand our bodies, and we have to understand what may be going on with us at the stage of life or with the seasons or with specific conditions. And we have to be open and willing to adjust our diet and to change if necessary, rather than getting into a rigid religious orthodoxy about things.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And, you know, in Ayurveda, too, one of the things that they recognize is that, you know, we're constantly changing. And so what they also prescribe based on what your imbalances are. So things change by the season. Things change because of your emotional states and everything. And so sometimes, you know, you have to do these adjustments, ideally, as your body changes. So they recommend that you, you know, check in with an Ayurvedic doctor like every 3 months, you know, to get your pulse taken, where they can pick up kind of all the vibrational qualities, you know, that's carried in your blood and can tell the shape that your organs and various systems are in, and do some adjustments, with it. And that's kind of the way to really stay finely tuned, you know, if at all possible, is to get checked about every 3 months, and even taking like prescriptions for herbs, for instance, you know, they say don't take them any more than 3 months, because at some point, you know, it's like then your body's changed, and then, you know, you may or may not need them anymore, or you need to switch, you know, to something else. And by continuing to stay on the same stuff, it can then create imbalances, you know, again.
Yeah, so interesting. It's that ability to be open, flexible, responsive to situations, not get locked into a rigid pattern.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, how it needs to be forever.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is part of the imbalance that so many people have these days. We like to latch on to something and we think we've found it, especially when it comes to diet and food and not necessarily listening to our bodies.
Right.
And be willing to, you know, adjust, change.
Right, 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 yeah.
So, okay, so what's let's talk about stress, because if there's one thing that will accelerate aging, it will be stress, and I guess you knew that up close and personal in your life.
Yeah, geez. I did, yeah. Well, we definitely know that stress is something that contributes to, and even the, like, National Institutes of Health, you know, said that stress continues to, or contributes about 90% of all illnesses, you know, physical, mental, and otherwise, and I would probably argue, you know, more than that. And, I mean, we know that stress is actually a process in our body that is important to it. It's something that helps us to grow. You know, like a weightlifter has to stress their muscles, you know, to get stronger, and similarly, in every dimension of our life, you know, we have some sort of stress is something that helps us, you know, to grow emotionally, spiritually, and all that kind of stuff. But the problem is that comes into play is when we have a situation which is called chronic stress. And one of the, there's some design flaws, I call them, in the human body, and this is one where our body reacts to stress in one way. That's it. And it doesn't matter if it's like, you know, you're running away from a robber, or if, you know, you just, I don't know, you broke a nail or something. You know? Your body responds to stress exactly the same way. So you have this fight or flight, you know, reaction that occurs, and it gets you, you know, prepared to either run or fight. And when that happens, there's this neurochemical cascade that occurs, and we have the release of these stress hormones like cortisol in particular. And so what happens is that, you know, in this day and age, we're subjected to constant stresses, you know, throughout the day, from, you know, your taxes to, you know, opening bills to traffic, I mean, all whatever. And so what happens is that for the vast majority of people, they're under this constant kind of stress, you know, situation, that where cortisol is being released all the time, and so you have these high levels of cortisol that are circulating. And they found that cortisol is great if you're trying to, you know, run away from a robber, like I said, and have that situational thing, but it's really not great if it sticks around too much, and it's got a lot of damaging effects to it. It's something that causes your blood sugar, you know, to go up, your cells to become more insulin, you know, resistant, so it increases your risk of diabetes. It causes a change in your blood lipids, so it increases your risk of cardiovascular disease. If you go through all the things that we know are so common in our culture today, it's like they're all, you know, stress-related, you know, diseases, you know, too. So 5,000 years ago, they recognized that you need to be doing an effective stress-reducing technique every single day in order to train your nervous system to not be so reactive. And so that's where meditation, you know, came in Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine. You know, you see the Qigong and Tai Chi, where people are out in those huge, you know, parks in the morning practicing like that. And so it's, I always say now, it's not an option. It's mandatory. If you want to be healthy, that you've got to be doing an effective of stress-reducing technique every day, and it is every day. I mean, just to, like I said, to train your nervous system so that it doesn't respond as robustly as it, you know, would if you're not doing those particular kinds of techniques. Now, there's other things that you can do kind of supportive. I mean, besides, you know, doing one of these effective techniques, there's a, you know, a variety of different herbs that they found that can be beneficial. They call them adaptogens, and which means that they help you to adapt to stress. So in Ayurveda, holy basil, ashwagandha, astragalus, those are some of the herbs that they use. And they've holy basil in particular is one that has been shown to be unbelievably protective against stress. It actually, you know, kind of interferes with every single step in that neurochemical cascade. And so if you're taking holy basil, And they've done, you know, animal studies on this, you know, too, where they found that if you're taking it and then you're subjected to the same stress and your body doesn't produce as much cortisol from it, so it, you know, decreases all the damaging effects from it. So I meditate every single day, but when I have times when I'm under, like, a lot of stress just because of some situational thing in my life, you know, then I'll start taking holy basil. I always take, you know, ashwagandha, you know, too, which is another, you know, kind of adaptogen, you know, just to help to keep things at bay. Ayurveda also recommends what they call rasayanas, and rasayanas are things that are things that help you go into old age. Basically, they say stay healthy into old age. And one that is well known, it goes by, there's a couple different names, but Chaiwan Prash is, you know, one generic kind of name for this potion that they use as a rasayana. The one that I take is called Amrit Kalash, which is made by the Maharshi Ayurvedic Products International, or MAPI, MAPI.com. And there's been tons and tons of studies on it. It's about 44 different fruits and herbs that are all, you know, combined together. And because you combine them, you get these synergistic effects with it that gives you this outrageous amount of antioxidant, you know, power, anti-inflammatory, and of course all these, you know, different medicines that are present in that. And it's meant to be taken as, you know, something to help to promote youthfulness. And they've also done research on it showing that it takes away most of the side effects of chemotherapy, which is pretty cool, and mm-hmm. and decreases, you know, your incidence of getting cancers and everything. So I think it's a good idea to take some supplemental, you know, I talked about doing the superfoods, but in addition to that, you know, there's a place where some supplements, you know, come into play. Now, as we said, usually change every 3 months, but some of these things, like in Ayurveda, the Amrit Kalash, you can take that every day and don't have to change, you know, with that. Triphala is another one that is very common and recommended to be taken in the evening time, which helps with digestion and regularity and helps with your eyesight and skin, and so it does kind of a natural detoxification. And that's one, too, that can be taken, you know, every single day. Paying attention to your health of your immune system is also something that's, you know, considered incredibly important. In fact, you know, the research that shows all these different kinds of theories of aging, they say, okay, so with aging, why does our bodies age? I mean, that's kind of the big question, what happens? And they've actually come up with 300 different theories of aging. And you could say, okay, well, which one of them is true? Well, the truth is all of them are true because they're aging is a very complex process. And, you know, one of the things that happens with aging is, in general, our immune system becomes weaker. And so that's the thing that makes us more susceptible to developing infections as well as developing cancers, because our immune system has all these different cells that go out there and look for foreign invaders, which include cancer cells, and eliminate them. And so to counteract that, all the diet and lifestyle recommendations that I give in my book are things that are supportive for your immune system, but then they've also found that taking medicinal mushrooms is something that's the food that has the most targeted effect at supporting the immune system. So I did all sorts of, you know, kind of investigation and on the mushroom formulas, and there's a lot of them out there that are really excellent. And one I was super impressed with is one that's called AHCC, which stands for active hexose correlated compound, which is why we call it AHCC, but it's out of Japan. Yeah. Say what? But out of Japan, hundreds of studies, and they found that it supports every single cell type in the immune system so effectively that it lowers the risk of many different kinds of cancers, will kill the HPV virus. I mean, they just got some research out of MD Anderson, you know, showing that it had direct killing effects to that and can even kill it in people who have chronic infections where there's no Western treatment, you know, for that. And if you get cancer and you live in Japan and are treated in Japan, they actually will prescribe AHCC to you in the hospitals there because the survival statistics are so much better. And I became a near evangelist over this stuff since I've been taking it. I started taking it about 3 years ago, and I haven't been sick once. I mean, I used to always get like a, you know, cold now and again from flying and stress and everything, but knocking on wood here. I haven't been sick once, so it's really impressive. But like I said, there's a simple thing, that you can do to help, to
What mushrooms are in that?
So it's a blend of different kinds of shiitake mushrooms, but what they do is they take it from the mycelium. So it's made in a different way that makes it more bioavailable. And so they actually make it take it from the mycelium, and it's a blend of several different subspecies of shiitake mushrooms. And then in the way that it's created, they actually cause the molecules to become much smaller, so they absorb into your system more readily, whereas the normal, beta-glucans and molecules are really big. So it kind of detracts with the absorption of it. So anyway, the way it was, processed, like I said, was to help to facilitate the bioavailability.
This is great information because these are practical things. Let's go back to holy basil a minute because stress has such an impact on the immune system, as we know. It can compromise the immune system, and it just puts the hormones out of balance. It ages the skin. I mean, you name it, stress
has
an impact. And holy basil is such an interesting plant because it also can be made into a tea. There's a tea out there,
that's
a very common company called Tulsi Tea. Which is the name. The Tulsi is the Ayurvedic name, the Indian name, is that?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So there's a company, right? It's called Tulsi Teas, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think is it under Organic India? Is that the brand?
I'm not sure. I mean, there's a variety of different companies.
Yeah.
So
if people look for Tulsi tea in their health food store or online, they can get various flavors of holy basil. That's kind of the base of it. Then they add some flavors. But you can just take this tea, drink it throughout the day, and you're getting all those great benefits you described from holy basil, which it also is a supplement, but tea is another option for people to be drinking with their hot water.
Yeah.
They can sip the hot water and
they can.
Tea.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And they, another really cool thing about holy basil, I actually was first introduced to it when I was doing the, a television show and for the newscast, in Cincinnati, and we met with a psychologist who was prescribing it to her patients for anxiety and depression. And she said, this stuff works within about 24 hours, whereas if you give somebody like a antidepressant, it can take like 3 weeks or something for it to work, and of course has horrible side effects to it. And so it has mood boosting effects to it as well, because of course feeling depressed is something that creates more stress in the body and everything. So the new chapter was the company that made holy basil. Now there's several other companies that produce supplements on it as well, but the guy who was in charge of new chapter, then the president, Tom Newmark, Tom, have you met him? He doesn't work with him anymore, but an amazing guy. But he went to India and he met with one of the Vaidyas, so an Indian doctor there, and he's one of the most revered ones in India. And so he asked him, about holy basil, and he said, "So why, how does it work to boost mood?" And he said, "Well, holy basil actually causes your consciousness to rise." So it's kind of like when you meditate, it brings you to these higher states of consciousness. Well, holy basil will do that. And so it kind of gives you this higher perspective on life, raises the consciousness, which is one of the ways that it works. And it's like, wow, how cool is that?
So that's great information. I love it because there you go. That's just one really simple strategy that people can put into their life. And if there's one thing we can all benefit from is reducing stress and altering our moods, and bringing us back into balance. So I love that information, Christine. That's great.
Yeah.
Good practical things that we can be doing.
Right.
So, we only have a few minutes left. Is there a big message you want?
Yes.
Was there one important thing we didn't get to touch on? I know there's so much in your book.
Right. Well, I always say, people are thinking, "Oh my God, I gotta exercise. Oh, I gotta eat plants. Oh, the stuff that's hard." The thing that influences our health more than anything else, more than diet, more than genetics, more than smoking. and that is feeling loved and supported. You know, so the research shows more that we are wired to be in relationships and that it is crucial for us to be in loving, supportive relationships. If we're in the opposite, toxic relationships is the worst stress on the human body and causes the worst damage to the human body. So really, you know, one of the best things that you can do for yourself is hanging out with friends who love you, laughing with them, because laughter produces hormones that are immune-boosting and great for your health, hugging each other. When you hug somebody, it releases, you know, all these hormones that are immune-boosting again, too. And just relaxing and laughing with friends and hugging them, like I said. So that's one of the best things that you can possibly do for your health. So that's, you know, how easy, you know, it can really be. And I always like to emphasize that there's so many really simple things that you can do. When I was doing my research for the breast cancer book, my original book, the Waking the Warrior Goddess, you know, book, I found that almost invariably anything that you did that was healthy for you, just anything. You do one thing, it cut your risk in half. If you do more than one thing, then those things will multiply up together. They have these synergistic reactions which make each one multiplies, you know, the power of the other one. So, you know, just to understand that even if you do one healthy practice, going to bed before 10 o'clock at night, the amount of health benefits that you get at it are like so unbelievable that, I mean, it would be beyond anything that you could even, you know, fathom.
Can you repeat that, Christine? If you do one healthy strategy.
Yeah, if you do one healthy strategy, the effects are, you know, like beyond anything you could even imagine. You know, there was research that came out like a year or so ago where they found that if you jogged for 5 minutes a day, that's it, 5 minutes, it reduced your risk of cardiovascular disease by 48%. So your body, I'm always like, here's your inner healing intelligence going, you know, give me anything, just give me anything. And there's a massive response, you know. So it's a lot easier than what you think to have a huge impact on your health. And, of course, the more things you do, the better, you know, the healthier that you're going to be. But just don't be, like, intimidated, like, oh, I just have a bad diet and lifestyle and I can't even, you know, get started here because what's the point? Well, the point is that you can, anything that you do can have a really dramatic benefit.
That's such an important point because I think often people feel overwhelmed. They don't know where to begin, and they often just, you know, give up before they even start program. But I like to tell people, just choose one little baby step.
Right,
one little
yeah.
baby step, right? Like sip yeah. warm water throughout
That's right.
the day.
That's
and
right.
it can have huge effects. And then
That's
that
right.
moves your energy towards the next baby step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So that's so important for people to understand. It's such a great point that, you know, you brought up. That's really inspiring. Just do one little thing and it has an amazing
right.
one little strategy can amazingly improve your health.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, vitamin D, here's another one where they've just found that low vitamin D's are, you know, levels are pretty common in most people, you know, throughout the world, but, you know, particularly in the United States. And vitamin D, you know, it works in our bodies almost like a hormone, and it's involved in hundreds and hundreds of different, you know, gene, you know, reactions, if not thousands, and they found that virtually every single chronic disease that there's an association with low vitamin D levels. So if you take vitamin D supplementation, you can cut your risk of like breast, you know, colon cancer, prostate cancer in half, they found, plus lowers your risk of multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's. I mean, you can go on and on and on. So we manufacture vitamin D, you know, in our body. So here you go. You go with your friends, you go to the beach and hang out, right? Make yourself healthy. But actually, most people need to take supplemental vitamin D. The only way that you'd know how much to take is by getting your blood levels tested.
Yes.
And because we each metabolize it differently. But there's a home kit that you can get from a website called powerofd.org. And you don't even have to see a doctor. They just send it to you. They give you instructions, this little, you know, drip of blood that you put in there, send it in, and then they can tell you what your vitamin D levels are. And then you can, you know, figure out exactly how much, you know, vitamin D you need to be taking. And you're actually involved in an international data collection study that they're doing to see exactly, you know, how important and effective, you know, vitamin D levels are as far as your health is concerned. But, you know, that's another just super simple thing, you know, that you can do that can have really profound effects on your health.
Well, this has been such a great conversation, Christine. I really appreciate all the wonderful work you've been doing and putting it together in your new book, Radiant Health, Ageless Beauty. People can go to Dr. Christine Horner's website, which is drchristinehorner.com. And mm-hmm. It's such a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you, Christine, for the wealth of wisdom you've shared with us.
Oh, you're so welcome. My pleasure.
And to all of you listening, thank you for joining me for another opportunity to grow and expand and get wiser and healthier. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.